Today is what we call Gaudete Sunday, or Rejoice Sunday. And it comes from the ancient tradition of the church where once upon a time, Advent, the season of Advent, went for 50 days, the same as Lent. And at about the halfway mark through those 50 days, in this case Advent, the third Sunday, the church gave the people who were fasting rather severely, it was a time of repentance and penance. That was what Lent and Advent was used for. And so it was a time to give the people a bit of a breather. So it lightened things up a little bit. And Gaudete is the first word from the introduction to the Mass. Rejoice, that's what it means. And the way that the church did that was it uses the readings where rejoice is mentioned constantly. And then we lift the colour even. The liturgical colours become rose is the technical colour for the third candle and the altar candles. And the vestments also change their colour on Gaudete Sunday to help lift the spirits to rejoice in this waiting period for the celebration of the birth of Christ. It would be, I would think, challenging for people this year, for some people this year, to really rejoice when they consider what they have been through this year. It would be very challenging, I think, to talk about rejoicing if your house was burnt down in the fires at the beginning of the year and you're still living out of a caravan, feeling as though the government and everybody else had forgotten about you. I think it would be really difficult to rejoice. I think it would be difficult to rejoice if you weren't able to be with someone whom you loved, but COVID prevented you from actually being there as they were dying. I think it's difficult enough to rejoice when someone that you love is dying under normal circumstances, let alone the strain of the abnormal circumstances with which we're living at the moment. How do we talk about rejoice when the reality is for some people that that must be a real struggle, a real challenge? Some of us in a couple of days' time will be saying to people, Merry Christmas. Came from the 15th century, around the time of Henry VIII, the word Merry Christmas. It's not part of our common language these days, but it has been built into now by society, part of the Christmas message. How do you say Merry Christmas to somebody when merriness isn't their experience? Merriness has to do with a connection between individuals, about bringing joy. May you have a joyous Christmas. May your life be joyous. Well, that could be a real challenge for some people this Christmas. I notice that Queen Elizabeth II says Happy Christmas more often than not. It's just a play on words or playing around with words. Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas. There's a bit of a different twist there. But how do you bring that authentically to somebody and really mean it when you know the dramas that may be going on in their life? And with those dramas, there quite often is a pain. How do we do that? So I ask you now, as I've asked myself, what makes you merry at Christmas? Leave the red wine out of it. What makes you merry? What makes you happy? What makes you rejoice? What truly makes you rejoice? What truly makes you happy? In the country of Bhutan, they have what they call the Gross National Happiness Index. Now, it's allegedly one of the most happy places on earth, Bhutan. So they have this index for happiness. And interestingly, the index points to, there are four areas of it, but it points to things like one is at peace with themselves and with their community. One is accepting of their culture and their heritage. One is at peace and in harmony with their environment. So way beyond the understanding of what makes me happy, give the kid a toy, buy them something special to make them happy or keep them quiet, whatever it might be. When we think of happiness, when we think of rejoicing on a global scale, the journal of happiness, and there is one edited in the United States and printed every year in Norway, but the journal of happiness has seven indicators for happiness. And the first two, or the top two that come out, are family and friends. They put those two together. And the second indicator for happiness is your understanding or your experience of the meaning of life, the meaning of your life. The other five indicators after that are all related to things like health, job satisfaction, the place where you live, things that physically bring you joy, happiness. They are all things that are on the, those other five are all things that are on the material side of life. Whereas the things that this journal says that bring us happiness are actually on what we would call the spiritual realm. So it's about relationship and it's about understanding. It's about getting it. Why am I here and what am I contributing in my being here to making this a better place, this world that I live in, particularly with those that are near and dear to me? They are the things of the spiritual realm. So on the third week of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, what are the things that truly make me rejoice, that truly make me happy? And I think the church puts this particular liturgy at this time to take us out of the gloominess and to bring us into what the spirit of this season is truly about. For people of faith, we get our joy from particularly this sacrament and this community. There's no joy for me staying up here saying Mass when there's one person down there. There is a relationship, most certainly, for me within the sacrament, but if there's no community, that relationship shatters in a sense. So the joy, the rejoicing, the Gaudete, for me, for example, this year, is firstly to be able to celebrate this sacrament with the people who make up this parish and this community, which is you. And then if you drill down a little further, some of you will be able to say, what truly brings me joy is the fact that I can come here and receive, not give, but I receive the body of Christ. It is given to me and given to you. That's what gives me joy, not on my own, but in the company of those around me, some whom I know, some whom I don't at this stage. That's where our true happiness comes from. And that would be a great focus this year. I know it will be for me, as I've struggled at times to be truly joyous when there's no one to share the joy with, because COVID and restrictions have kept people at a distance. No point being a priest in the church, our church, if you want to be kept at a distance. No point. No point being a priest in this church if you want to be sad and miserable. This community celebrating around this sacrament is always joyous. We've always got something to be thankful for, always. And we always have a way of getting through the things that make us struggle in life, because we know that we're not here on our own. We know that we're actually here together. I know that if something got really difficult for me, where I could go to get some merriness, some happiness, some rejoicing back in my life. I know who to go to. And I can tell you honestly, it wouldn't be that bottle of red that I often quote about. It wouldn't be. It is actually in the relationship, because it is in the relationship that gives my meaning to life, particularly in the role that I have. So I would just ask you at this time, through our Advent, through our waiting time, as we wait to celebrate the birth of the Lord again, and we're in that waiting time for when is he going to come back, that second appearance, when is Jesus going to come back? The people of Thessaloniki, they struggled with that. Come on, you said that you're coming, where are you? And we are impatient. We are impatient, I think, as people of faith, because we know what the joy is and we want it for eternity. But in the meantime, perhaps our task, our merriness, our happiness is gained by making sure that we can bring that joy to those that perhaps don't celebrate the way that we can and we do. I think the meaning of our life and the meaning of our faith and the relationships, I think that they are all so intimately connected. And for that, for me, gives a great reassurance. It gives me great hope, even when things aren't going so well. It allows me to see the chalice always half full, not half empty, because it's a chalice that I pass on from Christ himself to his people. And that's all we're asked to do. Take what we are given and pass it on. It doesn't need to be gift-wrapped. It doesn't need to come with cards and coloured paper and things. It simply needs to come from the heart, so that our spirit and the spirit of Christ is what energises and brings happiness, merriness, gaudete to those in our immediate sphere and perhaps beyond. And we can change the world. And people who hurt may then be able to say, this was a good Christmas because somebody made me smile, somebody truly meant happy Christmas or merry Christmas. They truly meant it. It is the spirit, not the material, that will bring joy, will bring gaudete to our community and beyond this Christmas.